Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for we shall still praise him, our help and our God. Please remain standing for singing the first verse of Lord, who throughout these 40 days.
Lord, who throughout these 40 days for us didst fast and pray, teach us with thee to mourn our sins and close by thee to stay.
Our first reading tonight is taken from Joel, the second chapter, verses 1 and 2, and then 12 to 17. Listen to these words. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sound the alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is near. A day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness, like blackness spread upon the mountains. A great and powerful army comes. Their like has never been from of old, nor will be again after them in the ages to come. Yet even now, says the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. Rend your hearts and not your clothing. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and relents from punishing. Who knows whether he will not turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, gather the aged, gather the children, even the infants at the breast. Let the bridegroom leave his room and the bride her canopy. Between the vestibule and the altar, let the priests, the minister of the Lord, weep. Let them say, spare your people, O Lord, and do not make your heritage a mockery, a byword among the nations. Why should it be said among the peoples, where is their God? Let us join in singing the second verse of Lord, who throughout these 40 days.
As thou with Satan didst contend, and didst the victory win, oh, give us strength in thee to fight, in thee to conquer sin.
You may be seated. Our second scripture lesson is taken from 2 Corinthians, starting at chapter 5, verse 20b, and going through 6:10. So we are ambassadors for Christ, since God is making his appeal through us. We entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. As we work together with him, we urge you also not to accept the grace of God in vain. For he says, at an acceptable time, I have listened to you. In a day of salvation, I have helped you. See, now is the acceptable time. See, now is the day of salvation. We are putting no obstacles in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry, but as servants of God, we have commended ourselves in every way through great endurance, in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless night, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, holiness of spirit, genuine love, truthful speech, and the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right and the left, in honor, in dishonor, in ill repute, in good repute. We are treated as impostors and yet are true, as unknown and yet are well known, as dying and see we are alive, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful and yet rejoicing, as poor and yet making rich, as having nothing and yet possessing everything. Let us now sing verse 3.
As thou didst hunger bear and thirst, so teach us, gracious Lord, to die to self and chiefly live by thy most holy word.
Our third scripture lesson is taken from Matthew, the 6th chapter, the first 6 verses, and then 16 to 21. Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them, for then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So whenever you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be praised by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you pray, do not do like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces so as to show others that they are fasting. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that your fasting may be seen not by others, but by your Father who sees in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth consume, where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth consume, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart is also. This is the word of our Lord. Let us join in singing verse 4 of our hymn.
And through these days of penitence, and through thy passion tide, yea, evermore in life and death, Jesus, with us abide.
We entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God for our sake. He made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. At an acceptable time, I have listened to you, and on a day of salvation, I have helped you. See, now is the acceptable time. See, now is the day of salvation. I remember really clearly when I remember really clearly, I'm going to try to talk more softly. I remember very clearly when our first daughter, Emily, was born and we brought her home. And I remember pulling up in our Horizon, our Dodge Horizon, Plymouth Horizon, it was a little hatchback thing. And we put her in the, you know, little car seat in the back, and had it facing backwards, and my wife sat in the back. I think it was the first time I ever drove with my wife, and she sat in the back seat. But she sat there to watch little Emily in this huge, big car seat with a towel around her head to make sure that she doesn't bobble all over the place. So if you're a parent, remember those days? Remember that day, bringing your kid home the first time in the car seat? And what were you thinking? You know, she's so small, you know, the seat was so big, she looked so fragile. I drove so slow going home up that mountain to where we lived in East Smithfield, you know, going really carefully. That's a scary day when you're with your child the first day you bring her home. You know what the next scariest day is with your kid in the car? When they're 16. And you take those keys and you hand them to that son or daughter, and they move from the passenger seat into the driver's seat. And you give them, you know, and they're not the ride-along anymore, they're the ones in control. It's always scary when you give somebody else the keys to anything. You know, I like to be in control. And you can talk to my wife and my kids about that, because when we took a trip years ago to California, I think my wife drove for 2 hours the whole time that we drove. The rest of the time, I wanted to be in control. So it's, you know, I get to choose the route, I get to choose the speed, I choose the destination in a way, you're in the drive-along seat, but if we're going to change seats, if you're going to drive, then I have to trust you to do that. And it's all about control. Whoever is in the seat behind the wheel is the one in the control. So let's think about that for a moment. A lot of people find it very handy to have Jesus in the car as long as he's in the ride-along seat. I like to have Jesus in the passenger seat. It's like those silly little, I never would put this on my car, but those silly little license plate things, God is my co-pilot. That's really kind of insulting to God when you think about it. God is my co-pilot? Well, that, who's the pilot? Well, then I guess you're the pilot. Well, that's not the way it's supposed to be. You know, that's because people think that Jesus belongs in the ride-along seat. So if something comes up that we require his service, he's there. You know, Jesus, I have a health problem. I need some help. I want you in the car, but I'm not sure I want you driving. If Jesus is driving, I'm not in charge of my life anymore. If he's driving, I'm not in charge of my wallet anymore. If he's driving, my ego's not the most important thing that's happening in the car. I don't have the right to satisfy every self-centered ambition I have. It's Jesus' agenda. It's his life. And I'm not even really supposed to be in charge of my mouth anymore. You know, I don't get to gossip. I don't get to flatter or cajole or deceive or rage or intimidate or manipulate or exaggerate. I get out of the driver's seat and I hand the keys over to him. That's him. I'm more alive, though, when he's in charge. I'm more engaged, however, when he is in charge. When he's driving things, I am better because it's not my life anymore. It's his life. And that's really the best thing for me. Tonight, we enter into this period in the life of the church, in our spiritual life, called Lent. It's 40 days long, not including the Sundays, from Ash Wednesday, from tonight, until Easter. And 40 is a number that you find in the Bible a lot. The number 40 is an important number It's the number of days that Moses spent on Mount Sinai. It's the days of Elijah walking to Mount Horeb. It's the days of rain during the flood. It's the years the Hebrew people wandered in the desert. It's the days Jonah told the city of Nineveh they had to repent or be destroyed. It's the number of days Jesus fasted in the desert after his baptism. 40 days is also approximately a tenth of a year. So it's a tithe. So you can think about Lent as being a tithe back to God as a concept. So, you know, think about Lent as something that we're doing as a tithe to the Lord, where our focus is especially for him. This is a time of transformation in our life. It can be, anyway. Just because we, you know, liturgical calendar says Lent doesn't mean it's automatically going to be a spiritual renewal in anybody's life. It only becomes a spiritual renewal in our life when we apply it to our life, when we open ourselves to the Holy Spirit to work that way in our life. It only happens when we're yielded to God, because he's not busting down any doors. He's asking us to open. So during Lent, we're opening the door of our life to God. We're sliding over into the passenger seat, and we're giving him the driver's seat more intentionally during this time. There was a study a few years ago that was conducted by a group of psychotherapists, and Dr. Linda Gottlieb, who was part of that, noted in referencing it that psychotherapy in the United States is losing its client base. In the 11-year period that they studied, from 1997 to 2008, the number of patients receiving psychotherapy interventions went down 30%. And the reason for the decline are pretty complex, but Dr. Gottlieb focused on one trend that they really noticed. And that trend involved the long, hard work of facing your own issues. That's what psychotherapy is about. It's a big word that has to do with dealing with your issues and becoming honest about those things. And the reason that that started to decline is that people would rather blame other people for their issues than take responsibility for their own. So, in other words, psychotherapists used to see patients who are unhappy, and they wanted to understand themselves. And they were beginning to see more patients who came in because they wanted someone else or something else to change, not themselves necessarily. So as one of Dr. Gottlieb's colleagues put it, he said, "I'd see fewer and fewer people coming in and saying, I want to change myself." So therapists started hiring these rebranding consultants who offered the following advice. Rather than say, "I treat people with depression and anxiety," advertise your services as saying, "Are you having trouble with a difficult person in your life?" Rather than identifying as a psychotherapist, use a more positive title like, and this is ridiculous, "a happiness locator." I think that can't be right, but that's what. And rather than emphasize the pain and cost of personal transformation, provide extravagant sales pitches like, "You will feel empowered and at peace. Handling day-to-day strategies will be a breeze." You know, it's really scary that thought about that is like, sometimes we present the gospel that way. We sometimes are tempted to say to people, "If you just trust in Jesus, everything will be okay." But that's not necessarily true. You still have things to issue, but it is better. Jesus will help. Gottlieb admits that all of this is unprofessional and unrealistic, but at least it gets the clients in the door. Lent is about facing our issues, and the biggest issue we've got is sin. And that's why that word is a popular word on Ash Wednesday. You know, it's kind of like the word of the day is sin. And sin is pretty much what happens whenever we sit in the driver's seat and we relegate Jesus to the back seat or to the ride along. In the early church, Lent was a time of preparation for converts to get ready to take the vows of commitment they'd make to Christ and to the church. It was also a time for backslidden Christians who had denied their faith to come back and to seek restoration. And that restoration, though, was only possible when they were willing to face up to themselves and the sin that they had and the need that they had to own that sin and confess it in order then to receive God's forgiveness, Christ's redemption, and release from the burden of guilt. Lent is a time of spiritual renewal and revival, and we begin it tonight. It's a time of spiritual discipline, paying more attention to our prayer life, to our Bible reading, to our witness, to the holiness that we engage in everyday life. And the reason for that is this. The spiritual disciplines that we pay attention to during this season have the potential, and if we were paying attention to them through the whole year, it would have the potential to strengthen our resolve to stop trying to wrestle the wheel out of Jesus' hands and allow him to sit in the driver's seat of our life. So tonight, we remember that we don't live forever, and we can't control things for the rest of our lives. But Jesus has come to steer us through this life. And by his self-sacrificing love and grace and mercy, he's going to see us through and help us each day to go deeper and deeper in a relationship that really will change who we are. So tonight, as we prepare to receive Holy Communion, as we receive the imposition of ashes, which is just a symbol to remind us or to say to us, or for us to say, I know I'm not going to live forever. I know one day I'll die, but I'm trusting in Jesus even for that. Tonight, as we do those things, use it as an opportunity to say to Jesus, I want you to sit in the driver's seat. I want you to be in control. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you give us so many opportunities to change, to come back, to turn around, to slide over and give you the controls again, even when we've taken them away from you. You are so gracious to us, and that there are so many times in our lives that you've forgiven us for doing the same dumb things that we've repeatedly done. Tonight, Lord, we want to remember your graciousness, your willingness to receive us back, and your willingness to work with us and to help us move forward. As we come to you tonight in communion, as we come to you tonight in repentance, we pray, Lord, that you'll change us, that we'll be able to give over to you more control and let you live through us. And we just give you thanks for this opportunity again. And I pray this in your precious name. Amen.
Let us stand as we sing. Change my heart, O God, make it ever true. Change my heart, O God, may I be like you. You are the change my heart, O God, make it ever true. Change my heart, O God, may I be like. Let's sing again, You Are the Potter. You are the Potter. This is what I say. Change my heart, O God, make it ever true. Change my heart, O God, may I be like you.
Let us remain standing for the prayer of confession. This is done responsively. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Surely you desire truth in the inner parts. You teach me wisdom in the innermost place. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Listen to these words of pardon. We are wounded by our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that makes us whole, and with his stripes we are healed. You may be seated. On this Ash Wednesday, as we begin Lent, let us remember what we are asked to do, and that is to put our eyes on Christ, to know his presence in our lives. And in doing that, he is also asking us to reach out and touch others' lives. Tonight, as the offering is being taken, Give so that others may come to know him and share in the love that you know that he has given to each one of us. Will the ushers please come forward?
Lord, thank you for blessing us. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to participate in what you're doing in the world and to be able to give, to make some difference in the world by those that we help and lift up and by sharing the good news of Christ. Use our gifts tonight, we pray, for his glory. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. The table of the Lord is here. Every time we gather around it, we do something and Christ does something. We have to take the bread, we have to take the cup, but Christ is the one who provides it for us, who provided his body, who provided his blood. It's one of those things, as I think about it, I think about the difference between letting Christ be in control of my life and me being obedient to Christ, and where does one begin and one end? Where do the two meet? But they do meet. It meets when we receive, when we open ourselves to Christ, for his spirit to work in us with forgiveness and restoration and hope and new life. And Christ does that, and we follow by obedience to him. So tonight, as we come to the table of the Lord, come with an open heart, come with an open spirit, come with an expectation that Christ wants to work within you something wonderful, and choose to follow, to obey, to give him control tonight.
Let us join in the confession. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole hearts. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. And we have not found mercy. And we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give you thanks, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You brought all things into being and called them good. From the dust of the earth, you formed us into your image, and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. When rain fell upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights, you bore up the ark on the waters, saved Noah and his family, and established an everlasting covenant with every living creature upon the earth. When you delivered us from slavery and made us your covenant people, you led Moses to your mountain for 40 days and 40 nights and gave us your teachings. You led us through the wilderness for 40 years and brought us to the promised land.
When we forsook your covenant, you led your prophet Elijah to your mountain, whereas he fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he heard your still small voice. When you gave your only son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sin, your spirit led him into the wilderness where he fasted 40 days and 40 nights in preparation for his ministry. When he suffered and died on a cross for our sin, you raised him to life, presented him alive to the apostles during 40 days, and exalted him at your right hand that we might be raised as the people of your new covenant from sin and death to everlasting life. And now, when your people prepare for the yearly Paschal feast of your son's death and resurrection, you lead us to repentance for our sin and the cleansing of our hearts, that during these 40 days of Lent, we may become prepared to renew our covenant with you. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Truly holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. On the night his disciples betrayed and deserted him, he took bread, gave thanks, gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples and said, "This is the new covenant of my blood poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you will. Drink this cup in remembrance of me."
Therefore, in remembrance of all your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we ask you to accept this, our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, which we offer in union with Christ's sacrifice for us. as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Send the power of your Holy Spirit on us and on these gifts, that in the breaking of this bread and in the drinking of this wine, we may know the presence of the living Christ, be one body in him cleansed by his blood, faithfully serve him in the world, and look forward to his coming in final victory. And now, as children of God, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. This evening, as we move through communion and imposition of ashes, we'll ask you to receive the ashes first, and I'll stand over here with the ashes, and the communion will be available here at the center. After you've received communion, you are invited to linger at the altar rail, to pray, to spend some time here with the Lord this evening. Let's come before the Lord now in a time of commitment and repentance. Let's pray together. Lord, it's a wonderful thing to know that we're loved. In our brokenness, in our sinfulness, while we were still sinners, you died for us. You laid down your life for people like us. Thank you for raising us out of dust, for giving us a promise of life, eternal with you. We thank you for that message and for the strength that we receive when we believe. As we have taken this communion, Lord, as we go from this place, remind us again and again that we're loved, that we've been redeemed. You've shed your own blood to save us from our sin. Help us, Lord, to live out of gratitude for you by giving control of our life into your hands. Help us to learn what that means every day. And we'll give you the thanks and the praise in your precious name, Jesus. Amen. It's about God's amazing grace, so let's close this evening by singing Amazing Grace. We're going to sing verses 1 and 2 and 5 and 6. Blessing of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you this night. And as you go into these 40 days of Lent, go knowing that you are loved. Go knowing that you've been redeemed. Go knowing that there is one who walks beside you, who can guide you, who can lead you as you open your life to his control. Amen.